And we welcome you this evening, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, and my dearly beloved, to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Line. We are excited on May 7th, 2015, to bring you this all-important meeting tonight in the Royal Room. We have special guest Queen Jam of the Ethiopian Federation with us tonight, and we're going to have some healthy and lively, vibrant discussions tonight. Thank you for coming in. I am Catholic Khalid Daphne Ahania L, and I am your host tonight. We're excited about this call tonight because we're going to continue where we've left off, dealing with the all-important subject of consciousness. And we're going to continue that discussion tonight about consciousness, how important consciousness is to us at this particular time. So thank you so much again for coming in tonight. And hopefully tonight will be enlightening for you. Queen, are you on the line with me tonight? Queen Jam, are you on the line with me tonight? Okay, she's not in just yet. A lot is happening in our world, as usual. We can easily get overwhelmed if we are not careful with all of the information that's coming in from so many quarters that can easily inundate us. We have volcanic activities that are erupting all around the world, off the coast of California. Of course, you know about Nepal and the 7.8 earthquake that someone has, someone you have background noise coming through on your... Someone, please push star 6. You have background noise. If you would, please take care of your background noise.
I fucked up, man.
All right, we can hear you back there. I can't get to my board, so I don't know who that is. I think I made it to my board. Maybe I can have that noise in just a second. Be patient with me just for a moment. We are almost there. I think I can take care of that noise. Just be patient 1 second. All right, we got the noise. I can take care of the noise now. All right, all callers are going to be on mute here in just a moment.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Now, hopefully, you can hear me. And since we are up and running, and I stopped off with there's a lot going on in the world, volcanic activities, protests all in America, and many more things that we're going to talk about tonight. But just before we do that, I want to do this just since we are just a few moments into the call. And you know the rest.
has held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back.
Well, thank you again. This is Khalif Sapnap on Hill. I am your host, and you're in the Raw Room tonight. Thank you for tuning in tonight. We're going to continue our discussion that we've had for the last several weeks in dealing with consciousness and dealing with the kingdom. I think Queen Jam is in the room with us, if I'm not mistaken. I think I see her number. Queen, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Greetings to you, my dear Queen and my sister. How are things going with you?
Pretty well, thank you.
Well, we're excited tonight to have you on the line with us tonight. And we have been discussing consciousness and how it applies to us. And in particular, Queen, we have talked about the identity of the children of Ethiopia in this region, the sixth region, which is the Americas, and throughout it. The islands, the six regions of Akibalan, or Africa, or Ethiopia, as it was once called, meaning that these people that are in this region here are actually indigenous to this land. Many of them, some of them, were brought as slaves, but they all were placed in a particular group and in a special category. A unique distinction was placed upon them in terms of their identity, which is a false identity that was assigned to them by their conquerors in terms of all of our names. For an example, before I became conscious of my identity, my name was Walter Humphrey. Of course, there are no tribes or indigenous people to Akibalan, either on the continent itself, all 52 countries, or in the Americas, which is the sixth region of Akibalan, because Africans were here in this continent long before Columbus. We now know this, but their identities were exchanged. They were given European identities, as I was, in the name Humphrey. Of course, there are no Humphreys or no tribe that name is not indigenous to Akibalan. So we've been talking about how that builds a consciousness. And a consciousness, of course, is energy. Energy, think of it in terms of energy. And as we think of energy, we think in terms of taking that energy and placing it inside of a matrix to manifest or to create our realities. So anyone who has a false consciousness will create or manifest their realities in a negative or in a false way. So names are very, very important because they carry innately inside of them the consciousness energy for creation. We've also talked about the fact that the people who are primarily responsible or our spiritual leaders. And that's kind of where I want to pick up tonight, because I've said some hard things, I guess, or that fell on the ears of some people that seem to be kind of hard. But I want to back those things up and kind of soften them maybe a little bit with Scripture tonight, because Scripture will back up some of the things that I said, although they may have been brash and acoustic and maybe even sharp in my language. But I sought to challenge some of our brothers who are, in my opinion, the most eloquent orators on the planet. And those are your black preachers who are very, very eloquent. I want to start out tonight by reading a passage out of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. And it says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." These are your religious leaders. Your scribes and Pharisees, or your religious leaders that Jesus is talking to here in this passage. And he says, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. What this passage is saying tonight is that the religious leader, not the politician, not the police, is the one who is the gatekeeper, so to speak, in terms of getting in the kingdom. He either will point people into the kingdom or point people away from the kingdom. He said, you Pharisees and scribes, religious leaders, forget about the title Pharisee or scribe, religious leader. You are at the door. He says it also in another place. I believe it is in Luke chapter 11, somewhere around verse 32 or 42, somewhere, or 52, I'm sorry. Where he says almost the identical same thing to the religious leaders in terms of how they are responsible for allowing people to get into the kingdom. It is the religious leader. It is not the politician. It is not the police officer. It is not the magistrate. It is actually the religious leader. He says in Luke 11 and 52, woe unto you lawyers, which is another term for those who are trained in the law, not the civil law, but the ecclesiastical law. And sometimes those lines were blurred because in a monotheistic culture, or in a, not a democratic, but a monocratic theocracy, I should say, rather as opposed to a democracy, civil and ecclesiastical law are the same. But he says, woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. So again, he's talking here to the religious leaders. And the next verse says, and he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees. So the scribes, the religious leaders, scribes and the Pharisees, they take away the key of knowledge, prevent people from having knowledge. They stand in the door of the kingdom where the blessings, where prosperity, where life, where the potential and possibility, the propensities for prosperity, peace, for the betterment of our world. It is in the hands of those who are our spiritual leaders who are standing at the very door of the kingdom and have the responsibility of allowing us to come in. So we don't need to blame the system. We don't need to blame the police. We don't need to blame the president or our assemblymen or senators or magistrates or prime ministers for the turmoil and chaos and confusion. If anything prevents our world from moving into the ascended state and into the place, according to this Bible, and I've just read you two passages, it is the spiritual leader who has that responsibility to lead us into the kingdom. Because he says, seek the kingdom first, and then all of these things will be added. So now, having that understanding a few weeks ago, I threw out a challenge that the pastors, preachers across the length and breadth of this country, biblicists, theologians, I would challenge them that the trouble that we're having in our world can be traced directly to this particular group. It is this group that must begin to share the knowledge, as we've just read. They have the key of knowledge. You've taken away the key of knowledge. You won't enter in yourselves. And them that were entering in, you hinder them. And there are lots of reasons for that. That is not the purpose of this show tonight. But as we look across the length and breadth of this country, and we see the protests that are in this country and protests in Israel, in Tel Aviv, where the Ethiopian Jews are in conflict with the Israeli government and bloodshed. As we look in this country, as we look in Kenya, and we see trouble in Kenya, the shooting at the University of Kenya, as we look to Syria and to all of the troubles that we see around the world. All of it can be solved, my brothers and sisters. It's simply those that hold the key of knowledge would place the key inside the cylinder of the lock, turn and flip the bolt, and open the door and allow people to come into the kingdom and to give them the true knowledge. This is what this call is all about, to give people the true knowledge, to open that door, this key of knowledge, which is being resisted in some places, accepted in other places, the true knowledge of what has happened, relieving the scales of ignorance and deception, delusions that have been deliberately placed over our eyes by those who seek to manipulate and to control and to maintain a prison planet with a slave population. The way out of it is with the key of knowledge by entering into the kingdom. And so that's what we've been talking about. And I begged on Facebook, text message, email, on this call, I begged our pastors and our leaders to hear this one simple message. Do not allow the manipulating forces of those who are giving us spiritual, or should I say, giving us, they're writing a song for us to sing. One of the songs that they wrote for us to sing that's being propagated through mass media, and I want you to hold that word mass media in your mind. I'm going to deal with that in just a moment, is Black Lives Matter. And so this song is being sang across the length and breadth of this country. Of course, Black Lives Matter. I would not be sacrilegious to say that the sanctity and the seriousness and the sacredness of any life didn't matter. I would not be an idiot nor an imbecile to say that no life was not valued. But what I am saying, brothers and sisters, is that many things are going on where the powers that be have an agenda, just as they had an agenda, to remove the identity of one group of people in the world. These people must be important, whoever they are. I'm not going to even discuss and talk about who these people are, although I know who they are. But to spend that much energy, effort, to exert that much economics, and keeping this identity through boards of regents, curriculums at universities, revising history, erasing, suppressing facts about who these people are, they must be important to this plan. Have to be. No question in my mind that if these one group of people whose identity has been stolen, has been suppressed, these people must be important in the grand scheme. Now, when I see these people under attack and singing a song given to them by God knows who, we don't know. Again, I'm not being sacrilegious. But listen, black lives do matter. But who wrote this song? Why is it a song? And I say this, and I'm going to surrender. We're going to talk to Queen Jan, and we'll let her talk to us a little bit about the nanotechnology that's being used in Baltimore and some of the false flags that we think were actually happening, but they were not happening. We are being manipulated by hands that are unseen, shadow governments, people that we can't see, with agendas that we are not aware of, that CNN, MSNBC, Fox News will not give you, but this Bible will reveal to you those agendas. Now, when I see those people protesting with this same song, and I see what this book called the Bible, ancient sacred document, one of ancient sacred documents says, protest is not what we need to be doing because of this reason. The people who are forcing us into the lower vibration of consciousness of fear, operating out of a fear mode or modality, through protest based upon oppression, understand the cosmic laws of consciousness. And so if they create a collective consciousness based in protest, which is really based in fear, that at this particular time where we are in the precession of our evolution as a planet, then they can plant this energy like a seed into the cosmic soil of the matrix to create a reality that they want. Now, that's the agenda. So, finally, again, I refer to the Jesus of the Bible, who says one of the characteristics of the end times, or when the system, when I say end, I'm not talking about the end of the world. I'm talking about the end of the age. I'm talking about the end of the age, not the end of the world. Those are some of the fatalists and others who talk about the end of the world, because even when they read the Bible, they don't understand that the word age or world is actually age. When Jesus says, "Lo, I'm with you to the end of the world," he's actually saying to the end of the age. And this particular age ended December the 21st, 2012 at 11:11 a.m. The age was over. We moved out of one age, Pisces, into the age of Aquarius. It's just a fact. It's a matter of science. And it is a matter of fact. So there's nothing we can do to go back into the age of Pisces or back into what religionists and biblicists call the church age. The church age is over. It's just a fact. It's over. The age is over. It's gone. It won't come back. An age lasts 2,160 years, and that's it. And we can prove that from the Bible. We can prove that from science. We can prove that from history. We can prove that from astrology. We can prove that from astronomy. But Jesus said this. When that age is over, he says, one of the signs of the times when the age would be over would be this. He says, many false prophets will come in my name and deceive many. And I'm going to surrender right here, because I told you, stick a pin in mass propaganda being taught and sprayed and spread by the media, CNN, giving us a mantra of Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. But what is your agenda? Why, when I see the masses moving in one direction, if I take the advice of Jesus, of the Bible, I approach mass propaganda with very much caution. Because he said this, many false prophets shall come at the end of the age in my name and shall deceive many, the mass, the mega. Be careful of the mass media, mega. Be careful of mega churches. Be careful of the crowd, for the crowd. I'm not trying to throw, not hating anybody for having mega, big, huge, grand, grandiose, this, that, and the other. I'm simply saying that Jesus says, false prophets will deceive many. The many, the mass. It's no indication that we're going in the right direction if I take the advice of Jesus. Queen Jam, I hope I haven't taken too long. That's about all I have to say. I'm so excited about what you said and what we've shared through the months here, and your recent trip 2 months to Ethiopia, and also the information you sent me concerning what was used. Let's start with what was used in Baltimore that you discovered that you sent to me. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, thank you so much. And of course, the reason I sent that to you is because we shared the information about the lust for our melanin by others who do not have it. And what they want from the melanin. And I had been informed, I had been speaking recently with ones who were saying that a lot of this genocide and mass murders and artificially created natural disasters are really planned genocide, planned killing of our people. And that the person was saying, you know, they are collecting the melanin. Well, you know, I took that with like a grain of salt, but the discussion was there. And then we spoke, and you mentioned about the another aspect of it, the more, what did you say, spiritual side of it?
Where the esoteric side, or maybe building it back one more level, looking at it in terms of everything is frequency, vibration, and energy. Of course, melanin, of course, Queen, as you very well know, is a superconductor and semiconductor of all types of energies. And therefore, it is also a transmitter. It is a receiver and transmitter of energies. And one of the energies that we've been focused on in this call is consciousness. And some of the oppressions that we're seeing around the world on melanated people, in my opinion, in addition to melanin, is the propensity and power that melanin holds in order to project energy, which is the invisible esoteric component of melanin, project this consciousness, collective consciousness of pain, into the fabric of the quantum field, which responds to our pain, to our consciousness. Consciousness creates and manifests. So if you want to create a world of chaos, turmoil, and disturbance, then obviously what you would do is take a group of people who have melanin that has the potential of the transmission of the highest energies. Melanin has the potential and the power to transmit energy, consciousness, into the filaments of the quantum field to create the reality that these people want. So this is why they are attacking melanated people, in my opinion.
Right. So therefore, when I saw this report that that came out of Russia, that the Russians were aware that NSA used sonic wave weapons in the recent Baltimore riot to enrage the people and bring them into a state of anger and, you know, that they were provocateurs among the demonstrators, and they used some long range acoustic device weapons. They have vehicles that were parked at strategic points around the city, and that was what they were using. I'm trying to find the quote.
Well, you know, Queen, being from the Bay Area and understanding that the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area, is ground zero right now for nano technology, microwave, acoustical, sonic wave warfare, I kind of understand, as a novice beginner, this technology that is being used as a weapon, and to inform our people that microwave, sonic waves, nanotechnology is being used in terms of frequency, vibration, and energies. Of course, we do know that our music, we've discussed that at length on this line about music, but now we're talking about military frequencies that will affect, and just let me say to the people, that your brain is a botanical organ that has electrical frequencies in it. Now, I know many of you are insulted that I mentioned that. You already know that. But some people are not consciously aware of the fact that certain frequencies can be tuned to the same frequencies as your brain waves, and messages can be sent. Now, what Queen is telling us is that the NSA, National Security Agency, Russia is saying that they use this technology on the people of Baltimore. And I think my wonderful and illustrious co-host is somewhere in the audience, Elijah, who has a well-versed, balanced knowledge of this technology being used not only in the Baltimore area, but being used in other areas. And if she's out there, I want to ask her to come in at this point and just kind of talk about it, because she knows about this technology being used in Ferguson and in other places. Elijah, are you out there?
I'm here. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, it's been said that this was what was going on in Ferguson, and of course, then we have to question how long have they had this technology and how far it goes back. And I'll contend to you that probably this technology has been in use for 40 or 50 years. They didn't just invent this. They've had it for a while. They were using it in Fallujah in Iraq, too, experimenting over there.
And so when we see these, mass gatherings of people who seemingly are crazed and in a frenzy and will not listen to sound reason, and as much as we've tried to get out and others have tried to get out, that they needed to stay still, and meaning to stay in a calm place, anchored in love, truth, justice, freedom, and peace, that they seemingly want to take to the protests, have violence. This technology that they're being used, that is being used against them, many of them are not even aware that this technology is being used or that it even exists. No. And they have problems in understanding that this technology does exist. So this makes my argument just that much more valid, that we need to increase our consciousness and our vibration in terms of, first of all, understanding who we are and tying our identity. One of the reasons that I'm so excited about Queen Jam and the continent and country of Ethiopia and the motherhood of Ethiopia is because I can find Ethiopia right in my life, in the beginning of humanity, as I understand this story that's in this particular sacred book called the Bible. Ethiopia has its foundation as the motherland to all people on this planet. And that is incontestable. That's not without debate. It is without debate in my mind as I read the Bible that Ethiopia is the mother of all people. I say that with the limited knowledge that I have in archaeology concerning the archaeological finds and anthropological finds of Ethiopia, that she is the mother of all people. So I'm excited about identity and the consciousness, the energy of identity and the consciousness of knowing the truth about identity raises the vibrational energies as a force field against any technology. Trust, listen to me. Love is the highest vibration. Love, without doubt, is the particular vibration that will be a force field against any tech. There's no man-made weapon that can penetrate the power of love. Love even defies death and the vibrations of death. So love, I preach love. I preach truth. Truth in that people who are walking in falsehood of an identity, that consciousness, once that identity is restored, truth is restored, it carries a frequency, a vibration, and an energy that creates a force field. Not protesting, not boycotting. I do not believe that this system is designed for equality. I do not believe that there is the possibility of equality inside of a system that's built upon the oppression of any people, any people. I do not believe that this system, I do believe that they are planning to collapse this system. I'm excited about Ethiopia. I'm excited about connecting with the motherhood of Ethiopia for all people. So with that, Queen Jam, I'm sure your heart is bubbling.
Well, as a representative of the Ethiopian World Federation, Christian, the Rastafarian, our eyes and hearts are always on Ethiopia. And it was really, I wouldn't say a lifelong dream, because most of us who grew up in this system were not even aware of our real roots, that we could say, well, it was a lifelong dream for me to go to Ethiopia, you know, or to go to Africa, because most of us had to learn about our roots outside of our school system. Because this, like you said, the system made a big, grand effort to alienate us from our history, from our culture, from our past, from knowledge of ourselves. So for most of us, Africa is a learned experience. And once I became aware of the importance of Africa, then it became my dream, and I was able to get to Ethiopia earlier from February, and I spent 7 weeks there in Ethiopia. I went on a pilgrimage of sorts and on a fact-finding mission, and the land grant that was given to us here in the Sixth Region, in the diaspora, by His Imperial Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I, who in 1948 granted land in Ethiopia for anyone in the West, in the diaspora, who wanted to come home. And several other African countries also granted that. So the one in Ethiopia, the land is called Sashamani. And I spent most of the time there. I went to Lalibela, which is ancient Christian region, as well as Aksum, which is an even older center of civilization in Ethiopia. This is where the Queen of Sheba lived, and I actually went to her palace. This is Queen of Sheba from Solomon's time. The foundations of the palace are still there. The rooms are still there. You can recognize the kitchen. You can recognize the entrance, where her throne room was. This was such a wonderful experience. We went to the Ark of... Yes?
If I may, Queen, some of the misinformation that even is proliferated among some popular religious leaders that are here, with huge audiences. One pastor in particular, his name is Manning, comes on and he talks about Africa never being responsible for building anything, never built a house was more than straw or grass. And this particular preacher, bishop, has a huge audience, huge following, saying that Africa never built any structures. And of course, he dismisses Egypt as not being in Africa. But the last time I checked and the last time I looked, Egypt was Africa. But Ethiopia is definitely Africa. And so you're telling me
do you know that there was a worldwide effort of our oppressors to make us believe that Egypt was not a part of Africa, because they didn't want to admit to us that our people built the pyramids?
Well, we know that Ethiopia gave birth to Egypt. We know this. And Egypt is not the beginning of civilization, but is the apex, as the pyramids extend from Sequoia all the way up the Nile Valley. Into Egypt. Egypt is the apex, or is the culmination of that civilization that started in Africa.
Right.
And Ethiopia is the mother of Egypt.
Yes, it's like a big turnaround, because we have been taught, like, for those of us who took the time, that Ethiopia was like a part of Egypt, when it was the other way around. Egypt was a part of the kingdom of Ethiopia.
Correct. Upper and lower kingdom, or upper and lower Egypt, as it was once called. It was all once.
It was all Ethiopia.
From the south, if I understand my history correctly, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I could make a mistake, but even when the invaders who came into Egypt came in, for an example, the Hyksos or Hyksos came in, it was the southern kingdom, or the Ethiopia, or northern kingdom, as they called it, came up and defended that throne. And each time the invaders came in, it was Ethiopia and the southern kingdoms that came up to restore the reign and rule, dominion, to the indigenous people. So this push to dominate and to suppress information concerning Ethiopia and Egypt is a part of the same system that we're talking about.
Oh, and, yeah.
And the very people that that look like us, that have been trained by the system to defend this system of suppression of truth, are people from our own coast. They have coals or brands plucked out of the same fire as we are. And so the first, very first guard or watchdogs that the system placed on watch are people, are our own people, who are trained in misknowledge, miseducation, misinformation, suppression of truth. And we must get around that. I think Aladia wants to get in to say something here. And I think Dawood is out there. Dawood asked a very serious question to me today. He was supposed to have been on to talk to us a little bit about the indigenous nature of the people who are here in this country. He is very well-versed, much more intelligent, knowledgeable, and wise in this subject matter than I. But I've had a devil of a time trying to get him on to talk about this to the people so that the people could hear it. Tonight will be a good night. We're going to let Elijah jump in, and hopefully Dawood will come in. He's out there somewhere. You know how to come in, big guy, *61, and jump in this conversation. Go ahead, Elijah.
Hi. I would like to ask you, Queen, what is the procedure for people here in this country if they're wanting to go back and claim their roots back to Africa, to the homeland, to the motherland? Can you walk us through what that process is?
Well, right now, the process that was set in place by His Imperial Majesty was really never fully honored. And when he walked away from office in 1974 as being deposed, that's what they said, the system that he has set in place for our return was not honored. But this is something that requires the unity of our people all around the world, especially in the diaspora, to put the pressures on the different governments of Africa to recognize that we are their children. And especially in Ethiopia itself, because His Imperial Majesty himself said, not only am I the emperor or the head of the people of Ethiopia, but I'm the head of black people all over the world. He said that with his, and he has shown, he not only said it, but he lived it by creating the Organization of African Unity, which is now called the African Union. I'm sorry about the noise in the background. I don't know how it's affecting this.
You're fine. You're fine, yes.
probably I will come on another time to talk about it. But what we need as black people is unity. Because when we are divided with 1 million different organizations,
mm-hmm.
we have no political power.
Correct.
But once we come together in love, and we're going to come together in love because that is what our brother Khalif is telling us, we're not going to come together in anger because that is going to feed into their exploitation of us and of our melanin and
manipulation. Yeah.
And it's right.
This is what I was trying to say, Queen Jam, that
yes.
the first step before we move to trying to become a part of a physical nation is to create a collective consciousness of love, which is an energy in and of itself that must not be preceded by any other efforts, any other politicisms, any other policies, any other education. First, the collective consciousness, which is an energy, must be seeded into the matrix soil of the cosmos that will create the environment. Now, I know this is esoteric. I hope I don't know how to make it plain, but this is the answer as opposed, in my mind, and I stand to be corrected, to an application to the United Nations or to some government or to some governing body, but yet this message must be spread that we must consciously operate in love. That creates the reality that we are seeking. That is step one. We must never, ever, I don't have the expertise to draw up documents like some that I know, constitutions or legislations or bills or whatever, or even to structure a government. But here's what I do know, is that the first step is a conscious energy awareness that must be seen into the universe. This is what I'm saying. That's what this show is about. Dawood, are you out there? We have about 10 minutes. I'm going to open up the Q&A here just in a moment. Maybe there are some that are out in the audience who would like to have the opportunity to speak with Queen Jam of the Ethiopian Federation. And I'm going to open up the question and answer in just a moment. But I hope as we're opening up the question and answer that we have projected the feelings and the dispositions of love and the importance of truth, the importance of justice, and the importance of freedom, of which there will naturally ensue peace. There can be no justice. There can be no, there can be no justice without truth. There can be
Dr.
no truth
Khalif,
without love. Yes.
I would like to maybe have you touch upon a conversation we had on the phone here a few days earlier in the week about the harvesting of our energies and why they're doing all these things right now to promote that harvesting.
Well, it's because they understand the science that I'm talking about of consciousness
mm-hmm.
and energy. Energy has a certain knowledge and science to it. Hello? Are you
yes,
there?
I'm here. Yes.
Well, energy is regulated by cosmic law, and these people are masters in terms of cosmic law.
Absolutely.
Okay? And they
yes.
understand cosmic law, and they understand these principles that I'm talking about of energy, of consciousness, and they know how to harvest these energies. And one of the reasons that they are trying to create the disturbances around the world is because they understand these energies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They understand these laws.
This conference is being recorded.
And they understand how to...
Q&A session started.
in terms of creating the reality that they want. So this is why they're using the technology. This is why they give us Black Lives Matter. Again, I'm being sensitive to black people. Black lives do matter. But who gave you this, and why is this a mass media blitz on Time Magazine? And one of the things that we didn't mention is that Walter Scott in South Carolina, as we further investigated the videotape, is wearing a green shirt. He's shot in the back, I don't know, 4 to 8 times. But there's no blood.
Yeah,
and there's no blood.
That's a phenomenon now. That's just really
interesting. So what is really going on here? Who's behind the scene? Who is the puppet master manipulating this? So, yes,
exactly.
They do understand the laws of cosmic energy and how to harvest and how to harness as well as harvest. Now, since we use the word harvest, we're at a time in our cosmos, just like in the springtime on our Earth, where when we plant, what we plant will give us a harvest. And we have reached a point in the cosmos, a cosmic spring, if you will, springtime, spring equinox.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached a springtime in our cosmos where what we plant now is going to yield a super harvest for us this year in September. And, of course, they are planning some very bad things for us in September because of where we are in the precession of the equinox. I could get biblical. I could explain it the biblical. I can explain it scientifically. I can explain it astronomically. I can explain it astrologically. It just depends on how you want me to explain it.
So, how do we counteract what they're doing, working with the energies? Because we know they know. That's the problem, that we have a disadvantage, because the majority of the population does not know this stuff like you do and they do. So what can the average person out here, what can we do?
Well, you have to, just think of it in terms of springtime on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when the ground heats up and becomes warm enough to receive a seed, and that seed then germinates, and only a few weeks the seed begins to come up, and then you have your first fruit or your first harvest or your summer harvest. And your fall harvest is your final harvest, or the fall harvest. This is the big one. Well, we've reached a point in time, space continuum, in our cosmos, where we're at a super, what they're calling a super harvest or super smita. The energies that we plant now will bring a harvest. Now, this is almost 100% accurate when you study smita, that smita is every 7 years release. There's a release.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in a 7 times 7, which is a super smita, and we're in a 7 times 70, which is a cosmic smita.
Does this come into Daniel's 490 years,
and 7 times 7 is 49 years, or 5 or 50, and 7 times 70 is 490. So that's the cosmic. We're there. Our sun actually has crossed the equator in the Milky Way galaxy. We've come from beneath the 12,000 years of darkness. We are ascending, spiraling upward in the galactic plane. On the galactic plane, our sun is pulling our solar system across the galactic equator. Now, when the sun crosses the equator of the Earth, springtime comes. The sun has now crossed the galactic equator. So you have a galactic springtime for planting. What we do now will give a super harvest this September. Trust me. Let me say that one more time. When the sun crosses the equator on the Earth, we get a springtime. We call it Passover, resurrection if you're a Christian. But if you're a farmer, you go out and you take your seed and you put it in the ground. Well, the sun has pulled our entire solar system across the equator in the galaxy, in the Milky Way galaxy. We've been beneath it for the last 12,000 years. It is what the Bible calls the kingdom of heaven. Now, the governments were really righteous and really wanting, they would be talking now and celebrating, telling us that our planet is in a grand jubilee. But they're not talking about it. They're not talking about this age of the kingdom that we're talking about. They're not talking about it. They're trying to create another reality by stirring tension, chaos, and trouble over the world and eliminating certain people out of the world, reducing the population so that they can have the world to themselves, or if they get bounced off of this planet into another planet or to another dimension, they will trap people in the lower vibrations, and they will continue to have a slave population on another prison planet or in another prison dimension. So that is what the energy is all about. I just said a mouthful because we're running out of time.
Okay, this planet is getting ready to, I guess, for lack of, it's getting ready to ascend, correct? So those people that hold these lower vibrations won't be able to ascend with her, right?
Well, the planet is ascending up the galactic plane across the equator, and this planet is speeding up, the spin, the rotation. The spin of the planet is speeding up, and the rotation is slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So the planet is speeding up and expanding. The planet is becoming a star. So the people with the lower vibrations, they will not be able to ascend.